Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is March 20th, 2020, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm joined today by two experts in the commodity space, Kevin Combs, calling remotely, as I am. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, everybody.
And Nicole Thomas, Vice President, McKinney Flavelle Information Services. Hello, Nicole.
Hello, Michael. How are you guys doing in the Bay?
We're hunkering down. We're at home, and I've got this really cool office set up now with all the screens and everything. So I'm doing pretty good, I think.
Awesome.
How about you?
I'm managing. I'm definitely managing. You know, the saddest thing is that the weather has turned spring-like here. So it's beautiful outside. It's like 75, 80 degrees, and you're stuck in the house more or less. But hey,
yeah.
Be thankful for nature.
Yeah, Kevin and I have sun. So Kevin, how are you doing hunkering down?
I'm doing awesome. Looking forward to a weekend, kind of.
Okay.
I think that I'm going to be like stuck around the house, so I might actually like have to work on my yard or something.
Oh my gosh. I would say I would come over and help you, but that's against the rules, so I'm not going to do that. So.
So kind and considerate as always.
Oh, I am. I'm a team player. Well, hopefully everybody is weathering the storm. Everybody's healthy and learning how to navigate through this new world. So I thought today, Nicole and Kevin, we would talk about just that, COVID-19 and a couple things on how it's impacting the commodity market, supply chain, and overall consumer demand and where we think things will go. Does that sound fair?
Perfect.
Sounds fair.
Okay. Why don't we start with you, Kevin, and get your perspective on the impact that COVID-19 is having on the commodity markets.
Well, when you look at it from a global perspective, that's just where we see the most damage at this point in time. And certainly everyone is looking at what the potential impact is on demand for all these commodities. Certainly when you have this shelter in place and lockdowns, et cetera, people are going to be consuming a lot less goods in general. And that really, first and foremost, hit the energy markets and everything that is attached to crude oil, which is virtually everything in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
So we've certainly had a hit from the global perspective. And, you know, that's where we've seen world sugar markets fall, you know, over 4 cents a pound here over the last couple of weeks. We've had cocoa and chocolate down. I wouldn't even know what percentage wise, but probably like 15, 20%, something like that.
No.
Anything global in nature has probably been the most impacted. But, you know, when we get a little bit closer to home and we look here domestically, and, you know, grains are not just domestic, but certainly corn, we have a strong domestic fall. Link with ethanol, that's been under pressure, not quite as much. Soybeans, same type of thing.
Yep.
Of course, when you look at some of the other commodities and markets that are more isolated, maybe like dairy or sugar, things like that, you know, we've had a little bit different impact where things haven't really hit home yet. And, you know, sugar is so tight anyway, it's hard to make a case for those prices falling anytime soon.
Got it. Okay. Nicole, your side, anything to add on that?
No, I think Kevin covered that pretty well. I'll just add that, you know, to that point of the potential impact of demand and looking at potentially where, you know, these markets are going to bottom out or if we're there. And I would say that's the question that is being posed to me by a lot of folks right now. And it's really hard to tell. I think with yesterday's move higher kind of gave people the impression that maybe we're going to see things turn around a little bit. But looking at today's numbers, even as we get closer to the close here, it looks like some of that strength's come out of corn. Beans still coming in pretty strong, and bean oil at is about flat versus the open this morning. But I think for trying to get a handle on where things are going to go with these futures markets, it's definitely a time of vigilance.
Mm-hmm.
You can be patient, I know there's a probably a desire to rush in and grab things at pretty low numbers. And not saying that, you know, that won't be the ultimate approach, but there's been enough of a decline in the values over the last 3 weeks that I think even if you allowed the market to rally a little bit, you'd still have an opportunity to get some pretty good coverage. So let's see if today, yesterday and sort of today's strength follows through into next week, and then take a closer look at if it's time.
Okay. Well, why don't we ask the question about supply chain? I mean, that is a big question. You can look at the grocery stores and see many items out of stock. Obviously, a lot of our food companies supply products there. And, you could say, hey, look, obviously in the Bay Area, the restaurants are closed and a lot of those types of places are closed. So what are we hearing as far as supply chain of ingredients getting to food manufacturers, et cetera?
I'll go first. I think when you look at the supply chain, you know, it's a mixed bag. When you look at those retail products, obviously a lot of stuff is absolutely flying off the shelves. The stores can't keep it. They can't get it in quick enough. And it's not just toilet paper. It's actually your milk and your eggs, your bread, your chicken, you know, things like that. You're seeing this huge demand shift. I think you got to look at the areas that are going to be down from a volume standpoint will be your items that are your more indulgent stuff that people enjoy when they're out. And so maybe your milkshakes and ice cream and, you know, non-essential items where that people go out for versus enjoy at their home.
Got it. Nicole, do you want to talk any more about that particular item?
You know, as far as being able to get a hold of ingredients and whether or not those seem to be moving fine, I think from the supplier standpoint, they got it for you. They'll ship it to you. And as long as there's still some, you know, exemption, even in these areas where you've got the shelter in place, exemptions made for necessary goods, the movement of them, that they feel reasonably confident that they can continue to get those ingredients to customers. So not seeing as much of it from their side. Now, to Kevin's point, I think from the standpoint of the user, the food manufacturer, for them, it's trying to stay on top of things and have a lot of flexibility and requiring a lot of flexibility from their suppliers, either in the form of, hey, we've got to slow down production a little bit because we have lower number of staff here or whatever the case may be in that sense, or saying, hey, I'm running through sugar right now, or I'm running through oil right now because I'm trying to help these retailers restock. So can you ramp up your shipments of products to us? And I'll say so far, so good. Can't say that I've heard of anybody having a significant struggle with getting those ingredients in, which is good and definitely speaks to suppliers' ability to be flexible and help through these unprecedented times.
Absolutely. Yeah, go ahead, Kevin.
I think you got a lot of the suppliers of your base commodities, like your sugar, your edible oils, et cetera. You know, right now they're doing a phenomenal job. You know, even with the poor sugar crop, it appears people are getting the sugar they need and are ramping up and getting, you know, extra loads right now versus what they might normally be pulling. So that's all good. Mm-hmm. The question's going to be, you know, we're kind of at the early stage here of coronavirus in the United States. So let's just, you know, we need to hope that they can continue to operate full speed and continue to supply these basic ingredients as the spread continues and gets worse.
Good point.
Yeah, it's a very good point. And you take a look at the labor market, obviously, to your guys' points. If this is prolonged, how does that affect a manufacturing plant? How does that affect somebody on a farm? How does that affect people at the ports? Or at the borders, all that could be challenging as you get more and more restrictions of things you can or cannot do. And I mean, you know, take a look at self-isolation. I think a truck driver in a truck by himself or herself is probably pretty good isolation, isn't it?
Yeah, that is. But again, it's not just the supply chain and the trucks you got to worry about. It's, you know, what happens at the plant level when you got a couple hundred people
exactly
operating a plant, and yep, then a couple people get sick.
Right.
You know, I know these plants, they're putting out a yep lot of information about all the levels of protection they're putting in place to try to protect mm-hmm all their workers. But, you know, we just don't know how well and how successful those are going to be.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's move over to consumer demand and answer that. How are we seeing the oops impact on COVID? We addressed it a little bit already, but let's go ahead and start with you, Nicole. What is your thoughts on the potential current impact and future impact that this is going to have on consumer demand?
You know, it's really, I'll preface it, you know, that it will be challenging to really get a good handle on what this is for a few reasons. Number one, there's the obvious sort of relationship between the food service side versus sort of the food processing side, with food service taking the brunt of a lot of this with the closure of restaurants, of bars, drive-through service only, et cetera. And then, of course, you know, kind of a state by state or even city by city response to, you know, how tightly they want to restrict movement of people within those areas. And as we alluded to earlier, you go in a grocery store right now, it's bare, you know, especially with those items that are seen as staples. So you're certainly seeing more families do their cooking at home and produce meals at home. What you want to understand longer term, though, is that more impactful to things like meat products, eggs, milk, bread? And how does that stack up against products that may be a little more processed, as such, may utilize a little more in these ingredients? And then, of course, to what degree is that offsetting whatever declines are taking place on the food service side? And then I think there's also an argument to be made about this could evolve, even in the way, mm-hmm, you know, consumers go to the grocery stores and what they choose to buy. Is that initial run to the store more of a panic? Oh my God, I got to make sure I've got all the basic needs for the next 2 months. And as time goes on, that turns more into, you know what? I haven't had any ice cream in a while. You know what? I think I will go buy a container exactly of ice cream, you know? So that's what makes it so challenging to really state, you know, how people are going to react to that. I think the only thing you can say is that, you know, for all of us in this industry, we probably were told at some point that the great thing about working in the food industry is that people always have to eat.
Yep.
And if there's, you know, one segment of demand, you know, the people may not be, you know, spending that money on entertainment outside the home, but they got to eat one way or the other. So time will tell.
That's a good point. And it's also, hold on just a second.
That's pretty.
Pick back up. Hold on.
He's got a.
That's a first.
A little concert going on. Oh my goodness! Classic.
Well, I think we leave that one in.
There you go.
What I was gonna say, guys. that's funny. Well, she's practicing, right? Right.
So yeah, Nicole, I think that's a lot of great points. And one of the things I've seen a couple statistics on was about 54% of our food was prepared food, and 46% was, you know, buying at home, etc. So I think you're going to see a strong shift in that regard. Obviously, more and more basic foods being purchased and brought home to cook, and it'll be really interesting to see just, you know, how that all plays out over the coming months, because I know people have certainly been buying a lot of things that they normally would not be buying for home. I've seen statistic rice has been sales have been super strong, flour, you know, things of that nature. So I think, you know, when I went to the store after the first stay at home was issued here for the Bay Area, both the first two nights, I went to stores just kind of do a check. And of course, the things I wanted to buy, I couldn't find bread. I couldn't find tortillas. I couldn't find onions. You know, how was I supposed to make chicken tacos? It just wasn't going to happen that night. And the things I did start walking around the store, and I start going up and down every aisle, and there was things I started to put in my basket. I don't even normally eat those things, but it was like, hey, these are available. I should probably buy these just to make sure I have something in my cabinets. Right. And finally, after thinking about it, I went back to those aisles and put everything back that I wouldn't normally bought and figured this will blow over in a few days and people will calm down. So I think it's getting to that point, and people will probably come back to that, just like you're saying. And you know, people's freezers will start clearing out a little bit and they'll start finding room to put that ice cream in instead of putting in frozen chicken breasts.
Exactly. I think one other point is that this gives certain types of business a challenge to accommodate the consumer where they can't. For example, I had some Krispy Kreme donuts delivered yesterday by DoorDash, and that was pretty cool. Reaching out and promoting that, hey, we're still here for you, and if you need something, we'll come deliver it to you. So it's going to be an interesting time where people are going to have to shift how they approach to the consumer and how they get their product to them.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay. I want to ask Kevin about the sugar question. A lot of our listeners are, we've talked a lot and talk a lot about sugar and what might happen after April 1st with the USDA. Do you have, with all this Corona stuff happening and what we just talked about and shifting demand, do you have an updated opinion on that?
Well, I always have an opinion. How it'll play out could be very different. I think, you know, when you look at sugar demand, it's a basic commodity. We're seeing some businesses like we were talking about earlier on demand for the food service side, starting to hear some cases where demand might not be real strong for those shake bases, ice cream mixes, that type of stuff. But when you look at the other companies that do, you know, granola bars and some of your basic commodities, things that can be put into your cabinets and sit there for a month or two and not go bad, you know, those companies are humming and demand is really, really strong. So I don't think demand is going to be hit for sugar in a big way as a result of this, but it really also depends on how long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you just given that, you know, people are trying to avoid added sugars in general and the dietary trends, I think this combines with it, you're probably going to see demand down versus the current USDA estimates, which is, you know, for food use, 12.125 million short tons. Maybe it goes down to 12 million tons, something like that. But I can't see it being a major hit yet. But, you know, let's see how long this lasts and then maybe our opinion changes. But for now, I think it'll be fairly minor just because of this big pickup that we're getting on the retail side.
Okay, great. Well, I think this wraps up our podcast for this week. And guys, I can't think of a better time when everybody's hunkering down at home in whatever office setup they have. If they haven't checked out the IQ platform and they're a subscriber, that they should go ahead and give it a shot. We have a lot of great information, analysis, charting, et cetera, making your life easier and more productive on there. And if you're not a subscriber, give us a call or check out our website for more information at McKinney-Flavel.com. And we'll go from there. And I actually have a recommendation for folks out there this weekend. And last week I had talked about, hey, why don't we just read a book? So I'm going to give a book recommendation. Is that cool, guys?
We've seen some of your book recommendations in the past, buddy.
Yeah, I know.
Kevin remembers.
All right. Just bear with me.
They really help you sleep, Nicole.
All right. So this goes along with my attitude of gratitude and living every day, right? So this whole situation is very challenging, a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress for a lot of people. And this is a recommendation from a friend of mine. Some of you may know him, but the book is called Stillness is the Key by Ryan Holiday, and I'd encourage people to check it out. In times like this, just taking a step back and taking some quiet time and reflecting on life is really important at this time. And boy, check it out. And Kevin, I'm sure we'll even like it, right?
Oh, I'm sure it'll help with the sleep.
I was going to be nice and say, I'll check it out.
I love you guys. I love you guys.
Or we can go to take naps.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Well, I'm going to end it this way. Like I always say, live with an attitude of gratitude. Enjoy every moment, time with your friends and family, a lot of time with your friends and family right now. And until next week, take care, everybody.
Goodbye.
See you, folks.
Bye now. That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Favel's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favel.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.